Thank God, brother.
So I was sitting here watching and watching people come down to the altar. And this thought just hit my mind. You know, the devil, he goes into probably just about any and every church there is. And no doubt he's probably in this one. But I can't help but think sometimes when he comes to this one, he must get a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Come behind. It's like reinforcements.
Yeah, brother. Amen, brother.
What's going to happen next?
Yeah.
And I can't help but think he's got to be nervous every time he comes to this place. Yeah. There's some places he goes in, he's not nervous.
That's
at all.
Right. He's at home.
He feels like he's probably welcome and right where he needs to be. But I thank God that when he comes to this place, he's got to be a little bit nervous.
Amen, brother. Yeah.
Coming down these aisles, and people just coming up here and backing these people. It's like reinforcements. And all the thing I can think of is God loves us.
Yeah.
God takes care of us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always. And listen, it don't matter what you're going through.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Brother Tom.
Because there's got to be reinforcements.
Yes, sir, bro.
It don't make no difference how dark it gets, what the devil throws at you. God's still on our side.
Yes, sir, bro. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe sometimes he does better preaching when he's testifying. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a blessing, boy. I didn't mean you couldn't preach, Brother Tom. It's just always a blessing when he stands up and testifies. Amen. I hope we do make the devil nervous. If not nervous, at least mad. How about that? I hate his guts. I hate his guts. He hates mine, too. And whether you hate him or not, he hates yours. He don't want your marriage to succeed. He doesn't want your children to succeed. He don't want you to succeed. He hates your guts. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5. And I'll try to preach real quick tonight because I know there's about a half of this crowd ain't going to like it no way. You'll probably be wishing, I wish they'd have just kept singing. But tonight, if the Lord would allow me, I'm going to preach to our men tonight. And ladies, this will be a good opportunity for you to say amen. Y'all can just sit there tonight and say amen, preacher. That's right, that's right. If there's a shortage of anything in America, it's godly men.
Amen.
Our Congress and our government in Washington is in the mess it's in because of a lack of godly men. Are you listening to me? When we get to the shape where those multi-million-dollar commercials during the football, Super Bowl, and one of them happens to be a pro-life commercial, and they raise more stink about that than you can shake a stick at, something's wrong in America. The problem is America's not used to godly young men like Tim Tebow who would take a stand for right.
Amen.
Amen? So when somebody does, they're just in shock and awe.
Amen.
That used to be the norm in America.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
There was a time in America when even lost men had respect for the things of God and the house of God. You never heard anything when I was a kid growing up. Nobody ever broke into a church. Churches were never locked.
Amen.
You just walk in, go pray anytime you want to. But if you leave them open now, the sound equipment be gone in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. There's no fear of God anymore.
Amen.
And I believe with all my heart, fellas, it lays at our feet. I believe the divorce rate, being it higher than it ever has in our history, lays at the feet of the men in America.
Amen.
We need some godly men.
Yes, sir.
And not only that, we need some godly young men coming up behind them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 22, and I'm going to read the rest of the chapter. And I know some of you ladies wish this verse wasn't in the Bible, but it is. And we're not going to change it. We're not going to rearrange it. We're not going to fix it. I can't fix what God wrote, and you can't either.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The reason so many women have a problem with this verse Because so many men have took it so far out of context. Amen. Maybe we'll explain a little bit of that later. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. If you're a godly husband, she won't have any trouble submitting to you. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Now hang on just a second. I want you to look up here and in verse 25 when he said, for the husband is the head of the wife. That's not giving you just a position of power, sir. But that's putting the responsibility on your shoulders. Are you listening to me? Hey, people 100 years ago used to preach like this all the time. You won't hear that TV crowd talk about this kind of stuff. That's because things are so out of order in America. Men, the responsibility of our families and our homes is on our shoulders. Amen. Let me finish reading. Verse number 25. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that I should be holy and without blemish. Boy, ain't that going to be a good day. And that's just exactly how we're going to be presented before him. And I don't think it's going to be too awful long. Verse 28, he said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it, or nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they twain, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Talk to you about being godly husbands tonight and godly men. Amen? God created man in Genesis, and he said he created him in his own image. The Bible said God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it wasn't but just a short period after that, the Bible said God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone. So he made him a helpmeet suitable for him and established the right of marriage. Now God instituted that thing. Are you listening to me? If God instituted my marriage, what right do I have to end it? Are you all right? Let me say that again. I told the couples at the Valentine's banquet Saturday night, we close every wedding ceremony with the scripture that says, for what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. If God put that thing together, what judge has a right to take it apart? Amen. God has an order. Would you agree with that? All you got to do is look at nature. Spring, summer, winter, and fall. Somebody said, boy, I wish it could be springtime all the time. No, God has an order. God has a specific order, and it's always been the same. You say, preachers, time changes. I don't think so. Walk outside. It's cold. You know what it was this time last year? Cold. You know what it was this time a year before that? And before that? And before that? And before? What are you saying? God's order doesn't change. If the Lord tarries till in the morning about what, 6:30 or so, the sun will come up. Amen. It's been doing that for 6,000 years. Amen. That's God's order. Amen. It comes up every morning, goes down every evening. Amen. Am I right about it? Amen. God has an order. Amen. And we ought to easily be able to see that God is a God of order. He has a way of setting things up and doing things. God has an order for the church. Some people think it's his order for the church is a committee that tells the preacher what to do. That's not God's order for the church. Amen. 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 That's not, hey, it's not your job to tell me what to do. You all right? Somebody said, you're a dictator. No, I'm a pastor. Amen. There's a difference. Amen. When I was a little kid growing up in church, I thought the deacon's job was to tell the preacher what to do. Amen. Ain't none of our deacons. You know what our deacons do? They deek. They go see people who's sick. Read Acts chapter 6. Read Acts chapter 6. See what a deacon's supposed to do. I've got one deacon that sees after visitation, one deacon that takes care of benevolence, and one deacon that takes care of what is the old job? Hospitality. Amen. That kind of covers it, doesn't it? God's got an order. Amen. I hope you'll agree with that. God's got an order, and God wants men who will put Christ and His order first in our lives. You know how easy it is for things to get out of whack, out of order in our life? Have you ever just allowed things to get chaotic? How many men, and if you don't want to raise your hand, you don't have to, but how many men you pay the bills at your house? Boy, we're the minority there. I know you do. If you let that stuff get behind and get out of whack, it's almost impossible to get straightened back out again, ain't it? Amen. It really is. That's just one of those things that you have to stay on top of. And God's order for our lives is another one of those things. Because the devil is a god of disorder. Amen. And what he wants to do is slip in, whether it be our church, whether it be our homes, our marriage, our relationship with our wives and our children, and he wants to disrupt God's order. And in many of our homes, God's order is messed up. Amen. So we need some godly men in America who will say, Christ, I'm going to put you first. And I'm going to put your will for my life ahead of everything else. I'm going to give you three areas that we need to work on as men, and we'll go to the house tonight. Number one, the Christian husband is to be a leader. A Christian husband is to be a leader. He is the leader of the home. We just read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. Amen. Amen. This involves making decisions. In Joshua chapter number 24, here's what Joshua said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua had made a decision for the direction that his home would take.
Amen.
Amen. I had these, I looked for it this afternoon and couldn't find it, but I had these statistics that about how many people in the household would get saved if the husband got saved first. And it was absolutely amazing. Amen. We bring all these children to church on buses, 150, 200 every week. We bring these kids in. These kids get saved and go back to ungodly homes. And rarely do we see their parents get saved. Every now and then God blesses us and we get to see some of them get saved. We've got bus parents that are still serving God over in Alabama tonight, and I praise the Lord for that. But it's a rare thing, isn't it? You know why? It's out of order. Remember the Philippian jailer when God shook the prison at midnight and he asked Paul and Silas, he said, men and sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Did that stop there? No, he said, and thy house. Amen. I know so many women across America get their children ready and carry them to church. We've got ladies here that'll do that. But did you know that's the man's responsibility? Amen. It's the man's responsibility to see to it that his wife and his children are under the preached word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I guess for 25 years, it's never been a question, Daddy, are we going to church tonight? I mean, my kids may have asked it, but I don't remember them ever asking it. No, they know that Daddy has set a direction for our home, and that's the way we're going.
Amen.
And when it's Wednesday night, we're going to be with God's people. When it's Sunday morning, we're going to be with God's people, if it's where we can. And Sunday night, we're going to be with God's people.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we need to make godly decisions for our life.
Yeah.
We had a Christian school here for a long time. At one time it was rather large, and we had, I think, just a little over 200 students. And it would blow your mind. And I believe I can say this with some authority. In other words, I know what I'm talking about. It would blow your minds how many children run the homes. Got quiet there. It would amaze you. Every year at the end of school year, my children would come home and, well, so-and-so said they ain't coming back next year, and so-and-so ain't coming back next year. And I'd talk to their parents and they'd say, well, just whatever they want to do. Well, you're an idiot. I mean, I hate to put it that bluntly. When do you leave life-changing decisions in the hands of a 12-year-old? That's why God gave them parents. We okay tonight? I told you you'd rather have them sing. But sometimes it's our job to say, I don't care what you want, I know what you need. Now, what if God gave you everything you wanted? Come on. What if God answered every prayer you ever prayed positively? You ever prayed for something you shouldn't? You ever prayed for something you didn't need? Come on. Now what God does is He provides your need, doesn't He? It's not always your every little want, because we don't always want the right thing. This flesh doesn't always want the right thing. Levi, when he was a little boy, his middle name was Hot Dog. What do you want to eat, son? Hot Dog, Hot Dog, Hot Dog. But you know what? If that's all we fed him, he would not be as healthy as he is today. I mean, I don't know if y'all notice, he's in pretty good shape. Amen? No, man, you got to eat these vegetables. Yeah, but I don't want them. We didn't ask you if you wanted them. You got to drink this milk instead of Coca-Cola. I don't want milk. I want Coca-Cola. We don't care. Amen. Amen. You say, man, y'all were horrible parents. No, we love our kids. Amen. As an evangelist traveling, I've stayed in people's home and watched women cook 5 different meals. 5 different meals. The way I grew up, you ate what was on the table or you didn't eat. Amen. Son, I learned to love collard greens. Amen. Still do. Y'all with me? I've actually watched ladies go, son, what do you want for supper? Honey, what do you want for supper? Sissy, what do you want for supper? And everybody wants something different. So she goes, hey, man, it ain't always about what you want. It's about what you need. And sometimes as husbands and daddies, we need to make some decisions based on what our family needs and not always what our family wants. Amen. Your family needs Sunday school. Nod your heads. Even if you don't go, you know I'm right. Amen. I had one fella tell me, it's amazing how many morons you run into in this country. I had one fella tell me, he was, when I grew up, we called him, and don't take offense to this if this is what you came from, but we used to call them streaked heads. Y'all know what streaked heads are? Amen. Primitive Baptist. Yeah. You know, they only have church every 4th Sunday, and they rotate between churches. They don't believe in Sunday school. They don't believe in nothing. Yeah. Don't believe in soul winning. The old fella told me, he said, well, bless God, Sunday school ain't even in the Bible. I said, toilets ain't neither, but you got one, don't you? Amen. Amen. Teaching the Word of God is a good thing. Amen. And it's probably the most important thing. Yeah, but my children don't want to get up on Sunday morning. I bet you $5 they don't want to get up on Monday either. Yes, amen. But you make them do that. Amen. Amen. My kids, can I stay home today? No. You're going to school. But I got a headache. Join the club. You're going to school. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Y'all all right tonight? Amen. We need to start making decisions about our home and for our families instead of letting them make the decisions for us. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that every decision was just bless God what Joshua said and that was it. That's what the Bible calls a hard taskmaster. Yeah. There's decisions about your lives that husbands and wives you'll need to make together. Amen. 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 My wife knows I'm the king of my castle. She knows I'm the boss around there, as long as she agrees with what I'm bossing. Can I get a witness right there? No, sincerely, if we were to make a decision about a mortgage for our house or a purchase of a vehicle or a whatever, and she disagreed with me, and we discussed it, and I still believe we ought to go a certain direction, she'd follow me. Yeah. So, yeah. Say amen right there. I was looking at her for support. Amen. We make these decisions together. I'm not her boss. I'm her partner. I don't tell her what to do, and she don't tell me what to do very often. Seriously, there is a balance there. Some men, there's one fellow in our church, he doesn't come anymore, and he had called me on the phone. Him and his wife would be fussing, and he a little bit slow, and he'd say, "Preacher, where's that verse at?" I said, "Ephesians chapter 5. He said, "Will you tell her if I put her on the phone? She got to do what I say." I said, "You're an idiot. That ain't what it means. You're not your wife's boss. You're your children's boss, but you're your wife's partner." Amen. We read it a while ago that the man should leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they two should be one flesh. Is that right? You know what that's a picture of? You got any idea? It's a picture of the Trinity. It's a picture of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They're three, but they're one. Yeah. Amen? Amen. And my wife and I are to live and act as one. Amen. If she's praying like she ought to pray, and I'm praying like I ought to pray, and we come up with a big decision, we probably going to come up with the same one, wouldn't you figure?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? But being a leader in our home involves making decisions. I've seen good men make some foolish decisions and lose their families. Take a job somewhere where there ain't a Bible-believing church and lose their children to the devil. You don't know how many times I've had people come in my office and say, "Preacher, we're moving to such and such." "Well, where are you going to go to church?" "I don't know. We'll find one when we get there." You better find the church first. Because it ain't like this everywhere. Amen. From this parking lot right here, you can go at a 5 mile diameter, a 5 mile circle around this place, and you can find, I ain't no telling how many good churches. You shake a bush around this place and a preacher falls out. Amen. We have no shortage of preaching in this area, but it ain't like this area everywhere. We heard about Brother Harvey Ware out there in South Dakota. People driving 300 miles, or 3 hours, driving 3 hours one way to go to church. And it wouldn't be, if you drove 3 hours from here, how many Baptist churches would you pass? About 1,000. It's probably true. You know how many they pass in South Dakota? None. So when it comes to the decision of where you'll go to church, don't let your children make that decision either. I had a dad, honest, before the Lord, tell me this, that they left this church and went to such and such church because the kids liked the rock and roll music. Something's wrong with that, friend. Something's bad wrong with that. We're not here for a concert. We're here for worship, and we're here for church.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, once your children get saved, they'll like this music. Listen, when I was lost, I liked the rock and roll too. Amen. When me and Angie was teenagers, we went to nearly every concert. There used to be a store called Turtles. You remember that, Stacy? We'd go camp out at Turtles, man, and buy tickets for concerts.
Yeah.
And we'd go see Journey and I don't know who all, with Bob Seger and all that crowd. But boy, when I got saved, that church music started sounding pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. I remember being like some of your kids sitting in church going, "This is the boringest junk I ever heard in my life."
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I remember walking in that first Sunday morning after I got saved. They reared back and started singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. I went, whoo, man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I could relate to it, you see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I wouldn't make a decision. I don't care how great the program is if the gospel's not being preached.
Amen.
We had a man come to our church in the old building and got saved. Had been going to a prominent Baptist church in the area for 6 years and had never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. If you come here 2 weeks and don't hear a clear presentation of the gospel, y'all get a group together and vote my hind end out of here. You hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
You come around here for 2 weeks and don't hear me tell somebody how to get saved and give somebody the opportunity to get saved, get you a preacher that will.
Amen.
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 Y'all okay with that? I wouldn't have a preacher that wouldn't preach on hell to my kids.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want them to know the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's my decision to put them in a place where they'll hear it. Amen? Being a leader as a husband involves making decisions. It also involves discipline. According to Proverbs, he said, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son."
Yeah.
I like that little boy. Little boy's daddy had a 57 Chevrolet, little teenage boy. And he said, "Daddy, can I drive your 57 Chevrolet tonight?" And he said, "No." He said, "Well, why do you hate me?" He said, "Son, I don't hate you." He said, "The Bible says you do." He said, "What?" He said, "The Bible said he that spareth his rod hateth his son." Amen. Wasn't the rod he was talking about there. Amen. He's talking about the one that lay across your back. Amen. We're living in a country, man. Listen to me. To where if you spank one of your children in public, you go to jail. Y'all remember Joe Turner? Had that, I can never remember the name of that disease he had. He was paralyzed. He was in Walmart. I don't think he'd mind me telling this. He was in Walmart, and one of his young'uns kept dragging stuff off the shelf. He said, "If you don't quit, I'm going to carry the bathroom and spank you." He threatened him about 4 or 5 times, finally done it. The law was waiting on him at the door. Didn't even leave a mark on the kid. But just because they say it's wrong, don't mean it is. You beat your child, I'll turn you in myself. There's a difference in discipline and beating. Amen. Hey, look, man, my mama beat the fool out of me. She'd whoop me till the smoke alarm went off. Now I'm mentally challenged. I'm an axe murderer and a rapist and baloney. It ain't discipline that causes that in the child. It's a lack of it. Amen. Do not. Listen, you are to be a disciplinarian in your home. Why do you think God put this inside us? It's normal. Men, how many of you have ever noticed your wife ask your kids about 5 or 6 times to do something or to be quiet, and all you go is him? And the business stops. Because that's God's order. He made you the disciplinarian. I heard one of you right out here in this gym holler at your wife and say, "Do something with that youngin'. You do something with him, big boy."
Yeah.
Hey, man. I had a man in my church tell me he couldn't do nothing with his teenage boy. I said, "You 3 times his size." He said, "What are you saying?" I'm saying, "Whoop the fool out of him."
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Discipline's still in the book.
Right.
You know why we don't do it? We're lazy. It takes consistency. Brother, you can mark her down. And now, my mama was the disciplinarian because I didn't have a daddy around. But if we're sitting in church and she leaned over and said, I'm going to tear you up when we get home, that wasn't a threat, friend. That was a promise. I'd get in the car and lay down in the back sleep and pretend like I was asleep and pray she'd forget. You ever been woke up with a hickory? Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I don't think we ought to be mean to our children. My best friend. We love each other. We love to spend time together and go hunting together. We hadn't been able to in a while, but we love to do that. We're friends. He don't despise or hate me. You know why? Because I disciplined him right. I think he stole it. I did have a paddle about that long, made out of 3/4-inch plywood. Ain't no telling how many splinters embedded in his backside tonight from that paddle. But he don't hate me, do you, son? Amen. There's a right way and a wrong way to discipline our children. Amen. But as a dad, as a husband, it's our job. Amen. I tell you, I've been guilty of this. It's easier just to say, yeah, go ahead, ain't it? Yeah. Amen. Ooh, getting quiet. It involves making decisions. It involves discipline. And it also involves training. Proverbs 22, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Amen. There's a difference in teaching and training. Training is a process. Training takes time. Do you know what my goal was? And my wife and I have talked about it for years. My goal was that the day a year ago this past December, when Sister Cora walked down that aisle with her dad and met me and my son standing at this altar, my goal was that as a father, I had prepared him for her. My goal was that I didn't have to set him down for 6 months of marriage counseling before they got married. You know the only reason churches have to do that? Because they ain't got it from mom and daddy at home. Yeah. I shouldn't have to tell your son how to be a good husband.
That's right.
We okay?
Amen.
I shouldn't have to do that. He should have learned that from you. We didn't have set down sessions at the house. Oh, okay, Levi, when you're a husband, this is the way. No. Here's what we had. Watch me.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
And if he's anything like me, you got a jewel. Amen. I'm serious, a heart attack. I know how to love my wife. Y'all ask her. Corner up and ask her if I'm a good husband. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our daughter. Our oldest daughter, she cooked supper for her in-laws the other day, or lunch or something. And Brother Todd told her, said, now we just going to have to call you Little Angie because the food was so good. You know what that was? That was training. I wonder how many of you or us, let me put it that way, have teenagers who don't even know how to cut on a washing machine.
Amen.
I hate using my family for example, but I don't know much about y'all's family. Levi, can you run a washing machine?
Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother.
Katie, can you run a washing machine? Ashley? They can all load a dishwasher? Yeah. That stuff's got to be trained. That stuff's got to be taught. Amen? We okay? I used to spend a night with a boy in school, and his mama made up his bed. I thought that was the wildest thing I'd ever seen in my life. We got up and went and got us some cereal, went back in his room, and it was clean. I said, man, who cleaned your room? He said, my mama. I couldn't believe it. I said, can I spend a night with you again? I've never had seen nothing like that in my life. Y'all all right? Woo, I must have hit a spot right there. Amen. Man, we're raising a generation of kids who don't know anything.
Amen. That's right. You're right. Amen.
You know why? Because it's easier just to go on and do it yourself than it is to take the time to teach them how to do it.
That's right.
We okay tonight?
Yeah.
As husbands, as Christian husbands, we are to be leaders. As Christian husbands, we are to be laborers.
Amen.
Oh yeah, I hate it, but it's part of the curse. Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 19. The Bible said that man would earn his living by the sweat of his brow.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with work. It won't hurt you. We was down at the store into my road here a while back, and old Henry Ray said, he said, "Yeah, you one of them preachers, you too sorry to work for a living." I said, "I bet I sweated more Sunday morning during one sermon than you did all week." Amen. No, he'd make about 7 of you. Amen. He was just cutting up. He's my friend. But the Bible said a man ought to work. Amen. Amen. You know what he said about a man that wouldn't work? Said he's worse than an infidel.
Yeah.
Didn't say he was an infidel. Said he's worse than one. Ain't that right?
Amen.
You said, "Preacher, now, wait a minute. You know how many of us are out of work? I'm just preaching to the ones who ain't hunting it."
Amen.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
I had a guy in our church who had come to us for help time after time after time after time after time. Wouldn't work in a pie factory. One day he came and I said, "No more." I said, "You're going to have to help yourself." He got mad at me and left our church. He came back later and thanked me.
Amen.
Said it was the best thing anybody had ever done for him.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I know jobs are hard to find. They ain't nobody I've ever seen hunt a job harder than my son-in-law has.
That's right. Yeah.
But he's working himself to death trying to find one.
Yeah.
Amen. Let me tell you something. I'd flip hamburgers at McDonald's if I had to. Amen. It's our job. Hey, the price of work is just exactly that. It's labor.
Yeah.
It's time consuming.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But then there comes the second part of it. It brings about provision.
Yes, sir.
As a Christian husband, you know, one of the worst feelings that I've ever had during our marriage is those times when I couldn't provide for my family. Because that's something God put inside me to provide for my family.
Yeah.
And I'd be in the same boat as some of you because I was a plumber. That's all I ever done. That's all I knew. But boy, if I was still a plumber right now, it'd be mighty tough. Because there just ain't nothing to do. And I can't imagine how low I would feel if I couldn't provide for my family.
Amen.
And here's what I'm saying. It's your responsibility.
Yeah.
Somebody said, "Preacher, should my wife work?" That's between you and God.
Amen.
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 I know the society we live in. The ideal situation would be her stay home, raise your kids.
Amen.
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 That'd be the ideal situation.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But it ain't like that in every case. But here's what I am saying. It ain't her responsibility.
Amen.
It is not her responsibility. I had a man in a church where I was preaching revival one night talking about how good a job his wife had. He said, "So I don't do nothing but hunt and fish." I didn't say it, but I thought, "You sorry as a dog, man." I'd feel guilty.
Yeah.
If I got to hunt and fish every day, it might wear off pretty quick. Amen. One old boy said, "Hey, man, what do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm a go-getter." He said, "She gets off at 4:30 and I go get her." Amen. Amen. God gave us a responsibility to provide for our children.
Amen.
Amen. Two of my children are grown and married, and I still do for them when I can.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, they're still my children.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all all right? Part of our responsibility is to labor. And then part of that labor, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes, I believe it's chapter number 9, he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy what?
Might.
That means you ought to work hard. Me and Levi was talking about his job the other day, and he and Brother William worked together at Delta. And I said something about, I forgot what it was that brought it up. And he said, oh, Lord, he said, they think William hung the moon over there. He didn't get that by being sorry.
Amen.
He didn't get that by putting his work off on somebody else. He gained that reputation at work by working hard.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Dennis Hollis called me the first summer Levi worked with him changing windshields. He said, Brother Eddie, that little old boy work hard. I said, he better.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with hard work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You all right? Amen. Listen, lastly, this one's a little better, and I'm done. I said that we ought to be a leader in our home. We ought to be a laborer in our home. And lastly, we ought to be a lover in our home. A Christian husband, we ought to be a lover in our home. Well, some of y'all look nervous. Listen, number one, there ought to be a divine love. We ought to have a love for God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our first love ought to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And our spouse ought to know it, and our children ought to know it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Your kids ought to be able to tell their kids at school, my daddy loves the Lord.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you? We ought to be lovers of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes,
more than lovers of pleasure.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
You don't run into many people that you just really get the sense that they just really in love with the Lord.
Yeah.
Many are in love with themselves.
That's right.
Love with their hobbies. I know Christian men who love their own stinking body more than they love God. There ain't nothing wrong with working out. But you ain't going to catch me in one of these confounded gyms.
Amen.
5 or 6 days a week.
Amen.
Drinking all that nasty junk they drink. Y'all all right?
Amen.
Bodily exercise profiteth little.
That's right.
Amen. Exercise is good. But they start worshiping that stuff. Me and Levi and Kyle Jones joined this gym right down here, down the road. And I'd go down there to work out and almost want to vomit. Grown men shaving the hair off all their body so they can rub themselves down with baby oil. That's weird, man. That's kind of like wrestling.
Yeah,
that's something's wrong with that. Two grown men wearing go-go boots and a pair of panties rolling around on the floor together. Some ain't right there. Hey, man. I'd stand in there at that gym and watch them fellas. They couldn't work out unless they was looking at their cell. They'd stand in front of that mirror. I just get tickled. They're big enough to squash me like a grape, man, but I just got tickled at it. I thought, man, you love yourself. And then stand there and do all that. I thought, Lord. I started to start doing that. I was afraid I'd make them scared and they'd run home. Amen. But we ought to be lovers of God. Amen. I tell you something else. We ought to be lovers of the house of God. Amen. As men, we ought to love to go to church. Little boy come downstairs ready for Sunday school one morning. His daddy's sitting at the table reading the paper. He said, Daddy, are you going to Sunday school today? He said, No, son, I ain't going today. He said, Did you go when you was little? He said, Yeah, I did. And little boy sat down beside him. He said, Well, I ain't going. He said, Why come? He said, Didn't help you none. Hey, man. Well, I love church. You know what I think one of the most pitiful things about our bus ministry is? That we have to have it.
Yeah.
That those children's daddies don't bring them.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
that their moms don't bring them, I think that's a crying shame. I can't tell you the thousands of people I've talked to that says, I know we ought to be in church. Amen. We ought to be lovers of God if we're godly men. We ought to be lovers of the church, and we ought to love God's people. Walk around with bitterness in our heart. That ain't what Christians do. Walk around gossiping about, and I know we always hit the women here, but men do it too. Amen. We ought not to be doing that. Not if we really love God.
Amen.
We can't even love God if we don't love each other. We all right tonight? We ought to love people. We ought to love people. We ought to love people enough not to talk about them. We ought to love people enough to help them when they're down.
Amen.
Amen. I was thinking this afternoon while I was going over these notes, I was trying to think of how many times our men have, at a moment's notice, hooked up trailers and went and moved people. Man, I appreciate folks like that. I'm glad I come to church with people like that.
Amen.
Who will help people out when they need it.
Amen.
But you see, you won't do that if you don't love people. You first got to love them. But if you don't love God, you ain't going to love them. Amen. There's a divine love, but then there's a domestic love. A man ought to love his wife. Ephesians chapter 5 said, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, we talked about that love this morning. There ain't never been a love to equal that love. But that's how we're supposed to, that's what we're supposed to shoot for in loving our wives.
Amen.
Amen. On down, he said he ought to love his wife as he loves himself.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You ought to love your wife.
Amen.
Everybody around you ought to know you love your wife.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Listen here. I do this purposely. I don't do it as much as I used to because I go to a lot of the same places over and over. But you can go to any church in any state where I preach and say, hey, y'all think Brother Eddie loves his wife? If I'm in a place I've never been, I spend a gracious amount of time bragging about my wife. How beautifully she is and how hot she is. I mean, brother, I talk about my wife. Why? I want people to know I'm not available. Amen. I mean, if you had to walk around in this, what? I'm kidding. I want people to know, hey, there's somebody waiting on me at home.
Yeah.
And she's meaner than a two-headed water moccasin, buddy. You mess with me and she'll come claw your eyes out. Amen. I want people to know. I want my kids to know.
Yeah.
You know what I used to love? I used to love to gross Levi out. You say, how'd you gross him out? Smooching on his mama. He don't think it's all that gross no more, do you? Come on.
Amen.
It's not, I don't kiss my wife in front of my children. I'll kiss mine right now. Amen. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
Levi'd go, ooh. Y'all quit that. I said, no. Y'all go another room. You go another room. Amen. People ought to know, hey, that guy loves his wife. That lady loves her husband. I ain't said nothing to the ladies all night long. But ladies, you should never downgrade your husband. It's easy to do, especially when you just get caught up cutting up. Sitting around with friends, you shouldn't start revealing his faults. A helpmeet don't tear down, she builds up.
Yeah.
Amen. We okay? He ought to love his wife, and you ought to love your wife so much that you'd be willing to die for her. There's a select few people in this room I'd die for. They're all sitting right there. Lord, this thing about having kids getting married and having grandbabies, that just means more people that you'd have to die for.
Amen.
Amen. But I'd die for my wife. I truly would. I'd give my life for hers right now if it was required. Amen. Because it's her they call, the kids, when they need something. Amen. They need her worse than they need me. The domestic love. We ought to love our wife, and we ought to love our family. We ought to love our family, our children. Amen. Do you know the greatest gift you can give your children? Your time. You know where me and Levi got close? On hunting trips. You say, well, I don't hunt. Find something to do. Go fishing. Play ball. Do something. His little old bitty boy, I'd take a big old sleeping bag. I'd build these big box stands to sit in, and I'd put him down the sleeping bag. He'd lay there and sleep. He is with me. And he looked forward to that, and he loved it, and he enjoyed it. And boy, when he got bigger, as we done that together, we got close. Amen. Spend some time with your kid. Amen. Ladies, don't always just send your kids off to the mall with somebody else. Go with them.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Girls love to shop. Spend some time with your kids. We ought to love our family.
Yes.
Things have been so hectic here lately, but you know what we like to do? We like to cook supper on lunch on Sunday afternoon. Have the kids come over. Amen. That makes you feel old to say that. Come over and eat lunch. We love fellowshipping with our children.
Yeah.
We have a good time together. Amen. I think it was Ronald Reagan or George Bush Sr., one of the two, made the statement that he knew that he had succeeded as a father because his kids still called him. I thought that's pretty good. Amen. We need some godly men.
Amen.
Some of us, there's some areas we need to step it up. When it comes to leading our home, we need to step it up. We need to step it up and say, I know I could do more as a husband, and I could do more as a father. Some of you men could do more around the house.
Amen.
Especially you men who your wives does work. You say, well, I work all day. Well, because the position you got yourself in, she does too. We okay? You expect her to come home from work? Sometimes get there even after you do? Cook supper, take care of the kids, their homework, all that junk while you lay on the couch? That ain't right. By the way, I can load a dishwasher too. My wife don't wash my clothes. We just started something in our house years ago and it worked. Everybody washed their own. And it worked. That way I couldn't scream, I ain't got no socks. It was, I ain't got no socks. Amen. Amen. Wouldn't hurt you to help out around the house. You know what thrills your wife more than anything in the world? When she sees you care about the home that means the world to her. When she sees you care about the home that means the world to her. It is good. And I know it. I know it works. We need some godly men. Who'll step up and lead their home. Who work harder at what they do. Whether it's a public job. Hey, if you work harder, it's always going to lead to better provision for your family.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. People who work hard gets the raises. People who work hard gets the promotion.
Amen.
Amen. In most cases. Amen. We're to labor harder for the Lord. Give it a little extra time. Amen. And then we ought to really work on that loving issue. Will we love God like we ought to? Will we love each other like we ought to? Will we love our wives like we ought to? Hey, listen, some of you younger couples, be patient. You're still learning some of this stuff. It gets better. It gets better. Some of you are at each other's throat all the time. Me and Angie don't never fuss. I mean, it's just a rare, rare thing. It gets better. You figure out how to do it. Don't bail out in the early years. Hang in there. Men, learn how to love your wives. Amen. If you just ain't got no clue, come see me. I'm serious. They're needy creatures. They are. They require a lot of attention. Amen. They're like Harley Davidsons. You got to work on them all the time. But they're still the best ones to have. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Brother Todd, if y'all would, if y'all come, maybe sing us a verse tonight. Well, I love my kids, don't you? Tell them. I love my wife, don't you? Tell her. I love my Lord, don't you? Tell Him. Amen. Y'all sing whatever's on your heart.